Genesis chapter 22, that's where we're going to start, and we will be using a lot of scripture this evening. Genesis chapter 22, I'm going to open with an illustration. It doesn't relate necessarily to our text, but it relates to the Word of God. It was a true story written in the Chicago Tribune many years ago, and it was about a man named Bill Mallory. Bill Mallory traveled to India, according to the Tribune. He traveled to India to discover his purpose in life, and he didn't find the answer there. So after returning, he noticed a sign outside of Chevron gas station, and it simply said this: "As you travel, ask us." So every time Bill Mallory pulled into the gas station, he would look to the sign and said, "You know what, I'm a traveler, and I think I'm going to ask questions." So he would go in to the guys behind the gas station and ask them, "What is the purpose of life?" And Bill Mallory, I don't know how the Chicago Tribune guy found this out, but Bill Mallory told this guy at the Chicago Tribune all the answers that the gas attendants told him. And so he went in, and this is the real answers. According to Bill Mallory, he would go into the Chevron station. He's trying to find the purpose of life, and he's asking the Indians behind the gas station, getting the, turning the pumps on. And so he'd say, "What's the purpose of life?" The first guy said, "Sorry, I'm new here." The second guy said, "I don't remember anything in the manual about that." Another guy said this: "I'm not much for church myself, sir." One guy gave him a leering look and winked at him, all right, which he didn't know what that meant. However, most people just gave him a blank stare, cleaned his windshield, and kept asking, but he just kept asking at all the Chevron stations. One day, Bill Mallory got a phone call from Chevron Customer Relations. And they said this. They said, "We understand that you've been asking our dealer questions about different things and getting unsatisfactory answers." The man suggested that he write his question out and send it to Chevron Corporate with a self-addressed stamp envelope. So Bill Mallory wrote, "What is the purpose of life?" And he sent it to Chevron Gas Company. A couple of weeks later, the envelope was returned, and in it was an application for a credit card. All right, so the reason I tell you that is if you're a young person here, you're not going to find your purpose in life at the gas station. All right, you're not going to find the purpose in life on a talk show. You're not going to find your purpose in life in a self-help book or at some seminar. What you're going to find is, to find purpose in life is get to know your Creator. And you'll find purpose of life when you get into the book. And so this evening, we're going to look at the purpose of worship. Remember a couple of months ago in March, Pastor Weiss came from Wisconsin, and he came down and he preached on worship. We were talking about it, and I was telling him that in a couple of months, I was going to be doing a message on worship. Because even when he came, he said, "You know, this is just odd. But I know this is what God wanted me to preach." And I know many of you, we don't think a lot about worship. But yet, we should understand the biblical understanding. Many times, we only think of worship at church because for some reason, we have named the 10:45 service the worship hour. All right, now not here. We don't always say that, but a lot of places come to the worship hour. All right, some call that the hour of power. All right, but they're like, "Oh, so we go." But what does the Bible have to say? And he did a wonderful job of breaking down that word of worship, trying to help us to understand. And so we're going to continue that idea, and we're going to pick up at Genesis chapter 22, and he addressed this. I preached a year ago, a Sunday morning and Sunday night, on worship. All right, on worship. I was telling them about that. And we use this passage in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 5 because this is the first time that the word worship is used in the Bible. It says, "And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." That word is a primitive word. It means to lay, remember he described it, it means to lay prostrate. It means to bow, to crouch, to fall down, to humbly beseech, to make obeisance or reverence, to stoop. And so always in our worship, that's the concept. And it's not us getting the praise and you'll see that as we go through. We're just going to do a simple kind of Bible study through the Bible on what is worship and what is bad worship. We're gonna end with that, and then we're gonna look at godly ways to worship the Lord, because worshiping the Lord is not just at church. All through the Bible, we see different ways to worship the Lord, and that's what we're gonna ask God to teach us this evening, and say, God, help us in our lives to worship you. Heavenly Father, I pray that this evening, as we look at this concept of worship, that our lives would take on the biblical attitude of worship, not just at church, but Lord, every day. And I pray, Lord, that as always, you would do that which I can't, and that is speak to hearts. Ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So here, we're going to just quickly, under godly ways to worship, I wanted to just mention a couple of, you'll find others, but why do we worship the Lord? Found a couple of things. We're in Genesis 22, Genesis chapter 24. Look at Genesis chapter 24. This is Abraham. Abraham is old and stricken in age. The Lord blessed Abraham. And then you go down to verse 26. And this is when Abraham, in verse 10, Abraham sends his servant to go find a wife for Isaac. And look down, the man goes, and look what he does in verse 24. She said unto him, I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and the room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head, notice, and worshiped the Lord. So why was he doing that? Because earlier, notice what it says. In verse 12, why is he worshiping there? And he said, this is the servant, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, I pray thee. So why was he worshiping the Lord? Why was he bowing down and worshiping the Lord? Because God answered his prayer. One of the reasons we should worship the Lord is when he answers our prayers. God doesn't have to listen to us. He doesn't have to answer our needs, but yet he does. And so, all right, I appreciated Pastor Armacost right at the beginning of our service, but I pray that on Friday and on Saturday, do you realize God met with us last week? All right, and let me just put a little side note. Pastors are famous for that, so let's just do a little extra right here. That's why I challenge you to come and take off work for preaching conference. You know, not every week we can't have special meetings. That's why it's called special meetings. Because we prayed. We had 24 hours of prayer. And yes, we should be praying all the time. But we do have times where we have just a little extra emphasis. And guess what God does? He comes and meets with us. And if you don't take the extra time, you're like, what's everybody so excited about? Because God spoke to us. He breathed into, I was here too. I mean, it was just an amazing week. And so guess what we should do? We worship the Lord then. And what is that worship? The worship is bowing down saying, Lord, thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for answering our prayer. We worship the Lord because he answers prayer. Notice later in the text, verse 48. It says, and I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. So guess what also? All right, we worship the Lord because he answers prayer. I worship the Lord because he leads me. You notice that's what he says in the passage. He led me. He led me in the right path. He has guided my path, and I turn around and I say, it's not because of me. It's not because I'm so wise. It's not because, man, I just got a gift. I'm able to look it out and be like, yeah, that one. No, it's because God, in his mercy and grace, and yes, we should be developing some wisdom, but I bow before God and say, God, you are so wonderful to guide my life. We worship the Lord that way. So we worship the Lord because he answers prayer. We worship the Lord because he guides our life and our path. But then go to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. We worship the Lord. Notice in Exodus, and most would know, all right, so Exodus is about God delivering the children of Israel. So notice in verse 29. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that they had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads. There's our word. And worshiped. We go to chapter 12. Very similar. So that's kind of the beginning of the Exodus. Notice in Exodus 12, so this is in Exodus 12, the deliverance actually. All right, so this is the Passover, the first Passover. Look at verse 26, and it shall come to pass when your children say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshiped. You know another reason why we worship the Lord? And these are just a couple. You can go through scripture, and I challenge you to do that kind of on your own. Look at other ways of why we should worship the Lord. But here's a couple just simple right at the beginning in Genesis and Exodus. And that is, we worship the Lord because he answers prayer. We worship the Lord because he guides our life. And then we worship the Lord because of his deliverance. You ever just pause? And there should be that in your heart. Okay? And that's not just at church. Okay? We bow before God because of his deliverance. It should be something that our children notice. You know, why are you doing these services? Why? Because we worship God because he delivered us from hell. He delivered our soul from that awful place. And he gave us a home in heaven. We worship the Lord because of that. He's worthy of our worship. So, godly ways to worship the Lord. So that, and our first part is why we worship. So how should we worship? Okay, well, in Genesis chapter 22, we worship the Lord. Remember the story of Abraham and Isaac. They're going up to Mount Moriah. And what did they do? They were worshiping by sacrificing. So one of the ways that you worship the Lord is sacrificing. Deuteronomy chapter 26 talks about the giving, all right, the sacrificing. So guess what? It's not just giving, all right? Sacrifice there in Genesis chapter 22. We don't have time to do a deep study on that. But I believe Genesis chapter 22 was a burnt offering. All right? Remember, Abraham is before the law. And in Leviticus, you have five different offerings. But before that, I believe all of the offerings were burnt offerings. A burnt offering was a little bit different in that it was a representation of Christ, but also the offerer was in essence connected to that offering, and he was giving all of himself to the Lord. So in my worship, one way that I worship the Lord, how do I worship the Lord? By sacrificing, giving of myself. And there's lots of different ways. So that's a different way. See, worshiping the Lord. So on Saturday, when you're going to nursing home and you're giving up of, you could do some other things. That's a form of worship. It's sacrifice. That's good. It's good for you. Remember that when you're doing those type of things. When we're going visiting, that's a sacrifice. Why? Because I am putting myself aside. I'm putting my wants aside and I'm saying, God, this is for you. That's part of worship. I think sometimes we don't realize all that's involved in worship. And so then it might change your opinion of how you do things when you go out. This is part of my worship to the Lord today. Lord, maybe even pray that, your partner. Lord, as we go out and worship you, because it is part of worship. It's service. Okay, so we worship the Lord by sacrificing. Joshua chapter 5. Notice here, Joshua 5, this is a famous, most believe this is a theophany. This is when Christ appeared to Joshua. And so in Joshua 5, it came to pass in verse 13, when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn. So we believe, most believe this is a theophany, that this was actually Christ. But look in verse 14. And he said, so art thou for us or our adversary? Verse 14. Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Notice what Joshua does. He fell on his face and worshiped. There's our worship. And he said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? You know, another form of worship. One, we said, so sacrificing. Here's a word again. It's bowing before God. One way we worship is when we listen to God. So guess what is involved in worship? My devotional life, isn't it? I'm bowing before God. I open up the scriptures. Okay, and I'm, even as Brother Olson was giving some, you know, kind of helps for your devotional life, and he was saying, hey, maybe pray at the beginning. And what should we say before we get in scripture? God, help me listen. That's worship. It's bowing before an almighty God, and bowing is what? It's in some ways submission, isn't it? Right? That is admitting submission. So I'm bowing before the word of God. And that's what Joshua is showing. And what do we know about Joshua? Was Joshua a wimp? No, he wasn't. Was Joshua a fighter? That's what always, I mean, when I picture Joshua, I see a sword flying. The guy was unbelievable as a fighter. But when he saw Christ, he bowed and he worshiped. And he said, I'm going to listen to you. That is part of our worship. Worshiping the Lord, we worship him by sacrificing. We worship him by listening. Now, also, we worship, look at 1 Samuel chapter 15. This is a little bit different, but this again goes how we're supposed to worship. We worship by sacrificing. We worship by listening. You're going to see this is a little bit different, but it's very important in my worship to the Lord. In 1 Samuel 15, this is the story of King Saul, and he's disobedient. Look at verse 25. Now, therefore, this is Saul. I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. Look what Saul, what Samuel says. I will not return with thee. For thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected thee from being king over Israel. A verse that we actually Pastor Weiss used is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 29, and it says, "Give unto the Lord the glory, due unto his name, bring an offering and come before him, worship the Lord." And then it says, "In the beauty of holiness," the idea of that verse and in Psalms and in 1 Samuel chapter 15 is that how do I come to worship? I can worship him by sacrificing. I worship him by listening, but I worship him also in purity. Do you notice what Samuel told Saul? Hey, you just disobeyed. He didn't want to repent. So don't tell me now all of a sudden, and guess what is true for us then? You can have your devotions and not worship. You can be in church sitting here and not worship. Why? Because you haven't repented of your sin. You haven't gotten it right. Then you sit at church and you're here, you're present. I've read my Bible. But you're not worshiping. You're not worshiping the Lord. Why? Because you're unclean. You're a King Saul. And King Saul said, "Wait a minute. Oh, honor me now. I want to worship the Lord. It sounds good." And for some of us, we can sound good, but that's all it is. It's just a noise because our heart is out of tune with God, and God demands purity when you come to worship. So how do I come to worship? I worship him clean. That's what I should do. I need to be cleaned up when I come to worship him. In Psalm 5 and verse 7, I thought this was a good one. In Psalm 5 and verse 7, it says, "But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple." There's a movement I didn't really know about. Pastor Umerkoff said that there's a lot of folks that say worship is a private only thing. This kind of goes against it. Worship can be at the house of the Lord. And it should be. It's not just a private thing. We come to the house of the Lord and we can worship together. All right, it says this, "I'm going to come to the house of the Lord and worship." In Psalm 66, look at Psalm 66 in verse 4. "All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee." All right, so what is that? Singing is lifting up the voice, but in some ways that's a talent. And you can see this, there's other verses and I'm moving along, but what are we trying to express? That I can worship the Lord with what he's given me, talents he's given me. So when we get up to sing, it's not to impress everybody, it's to worship the Lord. I bow before the Lord, giving him my talents and saying, "Here it is, these are my gifts to thee." That's one way we worship. And so that's if you have, and every one of us, and Pastor Armacost did a really good job. Remember, he taught three different Thursday nights on our gifts, and we need to take those gifts, and it's not for us to be proud about. It's not to say, "Hey, I don't have any gifts." No, you have a gift. You've been put into this body of the body of Christ here in our church here in Chesterton, and God's given you something to put into our church. And if you restrain that, you aren't worshiping properly. You're holding back on God. One of the ways we worship is to come before him with our talents within the church. So if I can sing, I sing. If I can greet people, I greet people. All of us should be in the habit of going out witnessing. All right, that's something all of us can do. We can all be in the business of, in essence, being a preacher of the gospel. So those are ways we worship the Lord. Look in Psalm 138. This was a good one too. Psalm 138. Look at Psalm 138. And I believe that as a church, we try to do this. You know this. We try to do this at every service. Psalm 138. "I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee." And then I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Part of worship is lifting up God's word. God has lifted up. And so when we lift up that which God has lifted up, that is worship. So at church, and that's what we try to do, we lift up his word. It's not our thoughts, not just random ideas. And this is one thing that I'll just, I know he won't mind this, okay? But it's one thing a little bit that, you know, Brother Ross got a little bit of carried away with, because really, I don't really care what some man in the past said if it doesn't line up with the word of God. Paul said that. Remember that? Paul said, if I or another preach a different gospel, let them be anathema maranatha. You know what that meant? Let them be accursed. He said that about himself. And this is what I'm telling you. If I preach another gospel, this is what's lifted up. And that's why I can look back and there's some things with John Rice. I love John Rice. I've got his books. But I'm not lifting up John Rice. I'm lifting up God's word. That's what we lift up. All right? I can look back and, hey, Martin Luther, he might have did something, but there is something. He's nutty. He's fruitcake on some things. All right? John Wesley, I can say, I'm not Methodist, but, you know, am I going to say he's not saved? I think he was saved. But there's something like, no way. Alright, and I can look at that and I can say, hey, you know what, they were good men, but this is what's preeminent. God's word is preeminent. And so no matter what, young or old, alright, young or old, you're a youngin' and you get away from God's word, you need to say, hey, wait a minute, this is what's magnified. Your word isn't most important. If you're older and you get away from God's word, hey man, this is what's important. We magnify his word. We bow to this. This is what's most important. The word of God, the word of God has the authority to change anything in my life. Anything. Why? Because that's part of my worship. Worship is submitting to God. We worship the Lord. So look at all the things that the Bible says about worship. We worship by sacrificing. We worship by listening. We worship in purity. We worship in his house. We worship with talents. We worship by lifting up his word. And Isaiah 66, it says, hey, you know, you need to come monthly and you need to come every week. You need to worship often. That's Isaiah 66. It says weekly and month to month and year by year, you need to worship. And the idea is that I don't worship just one time. I worship a lot. It's a continual thing in your life. You're like, well, got that done. Check that off. I guess next year I can worship again. I think for us in this day and age as a New Testament Christian, you should be daily looking at your life and saying, today, God, help me worship you. Help me worship you. Worship the Lord. And then the last in these 2 points, and then we'll look at some worldly things that have come in to ruin worship. And I think it's, it's Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 46, and this is kind of an odd passage, but I think you'll understand. And then I'll have you look in Exodus. Okay, so Ezekiel 46, and then we'll go back to Exodus. And I think between the two, you'll be able to see. So Ezekiel chapter 46, and then Exodus chapter 34. And I think between the two, you'll see this idea. Ezekiel 46, again, it's a little odd, but it says in verse 1, thus saith the Lord, the gate of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut. the six working days, but on the Sabbath it shall be open. In the day of the new moon it shall be open. Verse 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 are all detailed. All right, for instance, look at verse 8. And when the prince shall enter, he shall go in by the way of the porch of that gate. He shall go forth by the way thereof. Verse 9. But when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in the solemn feast, he that entereth in by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate. He that entereth by the way of the south gate shall go forth by the way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came in, but he shall go forth. What does it sound like? Does it sound like God is pretty specific? Yeah. So remember this. We worship the Lord His way. And in today's society, and that is the mantra, that is the speech that all of the neo-evangelicals and the new independent Baptists, hey man, you know what, that's your idea. No, God is specific about His worship. So I need to find out God's way. Why? Because in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 14, it says, for thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. I worship God's way because I only worship Him. I don't worship anybody else. He is alone worthy of my worship. I don't worship man. I don't worship a movement. I worship God, because God alone is worthy of our worship. Now, does that say I shouldn't love my church? No, I can love my church. And I should love working for God in His church. But my worship is to the Lord. And He is jealous of that worship. So within our church, that's why we pray and ask God, guide us. Guide us in our services. Guide us in our direction. Guide us in how we use the Word of God. Guide us even in how we apply the Word of God. Guide us in the principles that we are putting out. Why? Because according to God, He is jealous of the worship. And we start worshiping another way, we are asking for God's blessing to move away. And not just that, and you'll see that in our second point. Second point is, I was there in Exodus chapter 35 or 34, so go back to Exodus 32. And this is a story about wrong worship. This is worldly worship. Notice what happens with worldly worship. Exodus 32, and this describes a lot of churches today in their worship. Exodus 32, the Lord said unto Moses in verse 7, go get thee down, for thy people, which thou hast brought us out of the land of Egypt. This is funny to me, because I thought they were God's people, but God all of a sudden like, those are your people. All right, look at your peeps down there, man. All right, so He says, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, have worshipped it, have sacrificed thereunto. And said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them. Are you noticing? When we incorporate worldly worship, if we're not careful, and we're not begging God, saying, God, we submit. And some of that is submitting to God's word and His way. Always saying, God, help us to align our lives, our worship, our sacrifice. We are listening to You. That's all worship. My talents are all submitted to You. All of that comes under Him, because that goes under worship to God. And when I start saying, wait a minute, I'm going to do it my way. I don't like this. Hey, you know what? God, this guy's up in the mountains. Who knows what's going on? And I start doing my own thing. God gets angry. And I believe God is angry at America today. I believe He is irate at America today. And that's why you see all the nuttiness. In the last 10 years, I mean, you talk about floods and hurricanes and tornadoes and droughts and fires and all kinds of different things that I don't remember in the last 30 or 40 years. And what is God doing? He's saying, guess what? You do your own worship. I get mad. So as a church, we need to be careful. We need to be careful of the worship. Notice what it says. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, Lord, it's a stiff neck. That's, we read that verse 10, and look at verse 11. Moses besought the Lord his God. God's wrath was restrained. But look at verse 12. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, and he talks about, hey, you know what? We want to keep your name high and lifted up. Look at verse 15, and Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hands. The tables were written on both their sides. The table were the work of God. Verse 16, verse 17, and when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. You know what war sounds like? Chaos. Chaos. Look at verse 18, and he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. But it sounded like war. And as soon as he came, in verse 9, unto the camp, he saw the calf. Notice the dancing. Moses' anger waxed hot. He cast the table with his hands, break them beneath the mount. He took the calf which they had made, burned it to powder. Over and over, it goes down, and look at verse 25, and when Moses saw that the people were naked. So, what happened? When you decide to do worldly way of worship, you start bringing in lewdness and carnality. So as a church, you know what? We pray and we're careful of that all of our worship is not flesh appealing. It's not flesh appealing worship. It's from Egypt. Doesn't belong in the camp of Israel, who was saved out of that Egyptian mess, out of slavery and bondage. We don't want that. And it's a noise of chaos. And that's what we try to avoid. Man praises with lewdness and carnality. Man, if you go to Isaiah chapter 2. All right, so look at Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. And we'll close it down here soon. Isaiah chapter 2. Look at verse 8. It says, I will go to verse 6. Therefore, thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east and are soothsayers like the Philistines. They please themselves in the children of strangers. Their land also is full of silver and gold. Neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses. Neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. You know what? Here was Isaiah, and he was lashing out at the people of Israel. Because why? Because they now worship themselves. And that is America. And what we have to be careful of is that doesn't become us. When all of a sudden it's all about you. You know, I've been with some pastors, but not just pastors. I've been with just people in general, some that even claim to be Christians. And man, I remember one guy, I sat down and I was thinking that I was going to talk to him. I never did. But man, I never realized what greatness I was in the presence of. I didn't realize all the things that he'd accomplished. I wanted to say, well, it's interesting because I've never heard your name. I know you're really great, but just so you know, I've never heard of you. Maybe pop his bubble a little bit. I know you've done everything, but hey, There's one person in this world that's never heard of you. Because sometimes it's all about us. Hey, have you heard what I did? You heard what I did yesterday? Did you see what I made? Be very careful, because that's a sign of taking worship away from God when it all of a sudden is you. It's all about you. It's all about what you did. Man praises his own doings. Man does. Man praises with lewdness and carnality. And Jeremiah, let's go there. All right, and then we'll wrap it up after this. Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah chapter 13. Look at verse 10. This evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their hearts, walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle which is good for nothing. That's God speaking. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise and for a glory. But they would not hear. God doesn't take it lightly when his people decide not to worship him. When they decide to do it their own way and decide to take God's glory and God's worship, be careful in your life, whether it's a young person or an older person. Again, it doesn't matter. When I get away from this book, if I'm young or if I'm old, this book is sovereign. It deserves my worship. It deserves my submission to it. It deserves my praise. And when I get away from it, God says, you're good for nothing. Because all of our goodness goes straight back to him. There is nothing good in us. Nothing good in ourselves. Anything good is because of the Lord and because of his working in our life. So let me close by going to Isaiah chapter 6. I think this is a study of kind of when you approach worship the biblical way, what happens to you. Notice what it says in Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had his six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. When I have an attitude of worship, I see the Lord as he is. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. What is it saying? When I come into the presence of God, when he is in my life, I see God as he is. That's worship. Then, notice it continues. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When I am worshiping properly, I see God as he is. And that makes me see me as I am. I'm a great sinner. One man said, and he said, I'm an unclean branch of an unclean tree. One man said this, it was pride that changed angels into devils, and it's humility that makes men as angels. We need to We need to see ourselves as we are. And when we're worshiping properly, we see God. And then it makes us see us. And then notice what it causes. Verse 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. When we worship properly, I see God. Properly. I see me properly. And then it makes me serve him obediently. Because I say, God, because of what you are and what you've done for me, I bow before you and I worship you. And he says, hey, well, why don't you go over here? All right. What do you need, God? Because I know what he is. And I know what I am. And so whatever he needs, I'll go and do. One man put it this way. He said this, Spurgeon said this, when a man's lips have felt the sacrificial flame, he is bold to go upon the Lord's errands, though it be to the world's ends. You know why? Because he saw him and it made him understand what he was and what great mercy and grace God has had on our life. And so whatever he asks in worshiping and bowing before him, I do what he asks. Read of a story and it's on a busy street, kind of in a city, kind of like Chicago or New York City. If you're ever in Chicago or New York City, they usually always have construction going on somewhere in one of their high rises. And usually around that high rise, then they have scaffolding all over the place. And it was like this. There was a great scaffolding that had been built across the front. And from the scaffolding, there was, and you've probably seen this, I've seen it before, from the scaffolding's front, there was a sign from one of the businesses that was behind the scaffolding. We're open. No interruption to business. One of the men that was walking by said he just stepped back and he watched for a little bit of time. And he said, I would disagree with that sign. He said, we're open. No interruption. But there was no sign of customers about the store. Passerbyers didn't even seem to notice that there was a store there. The decision of the storekeeper that his business should not be interrupted didn't settle the matter. It was interrupted. And then the man applied it to his life. Young man, you're zealous for Christ. But, you know, you took on some other activities and you say, I'm open for business, but there hasn't been much worship going on. A pastor even allowed himself to be caught up in politics. I don't intend that it shall hinder my work as a soul winner or as a preacher, but that was only for a little bit of time. People ceased to come. Obstruction came in the way. The scaffolding came in the way of the worship. And I ask you then this evening, is there something in the way of your worship? Are you worshiping the Lord properly? Have you hung out the sign and said, open for business, no interruptions? But there's really no evidence that you worship the Lord. Why? Because a worship of the Lord is at church. a worship of the Lord sacrifices. A worshiper of the Lord is really in tune saying, hey, captain of the host, whatever you say, I'll do. Or have you settled on man's way? Yeah, there's a little lewdness, a little carnality. Little man worship coming in. Yeah. Well, you know what? Yeah. I got a little bit of talent. It's all about me. No, it isn't. Go back to Isaiah. Understand when you see God, you'll see yourself as you are. And then when God says, hey, go, you say, God, I have to. That is bowing in worship. Let's worship the Lord then. Heads bowed, eyes closed. In just a moment, we'll have a time of invitation. God may have dealt with you.